For centuries, the mystics of spirit had existed by running a protection racket, by making life on Earth unbearable, then charging you for consolation and relief by forbidding all the virtues that make existence possible, then riding on the shoulders of your guilt by declaring production and joy to be sins, then collecting blackmail from the sinners. We, the men of the mind, were the unnamed victims of their creed. We who were willing to break their moral code and to bear damnation for the sin of reason. We who thought and acted while they wished and prayed. We who were moral outcasts. We who were bootleggers of life when life was held to be a crime. While they basked in moral glory for the virtue of surpassing material greed and of distributing in selfless charity the material goods produced by... blank out. Now, we are chained and commanded to produce, by savages who do not grant us even the identification of sinners, by savages who proclaim that we do not exist, then threaten to deprive us of the life we don't possess if we fail to provide them with the goods we don't produce. Now we are expected to continue running railroads and to know the minute when a train will arrive after crossing the span of a continent. We're expected to continue running steel mills and to know the molecular structure of every drop of metal in the cables of your bridges and in the body of the airplanes that support you in midair, while the tribes of your grotesque little mystics of muscle fight over the carcass of our world, gibbering in sounds of non-language, that there are no principles, no absolutes, no knowledge, no mind. Dropping below the level of a savage, who believes that the magic words he utters have the power to alter reality, they believe that reality can be altered by the power of the words they do not utter. And their magic tool is the blank out, the pretense that nothing can come into existence past the voodoo of their refusal to identify it. As they feed on stolen wealth in body, so they feed on stolen concepts in mind, and proclaim that honesty consists of refusing to know that one is stealing. As they use effects while denying causes, so they use our concepts while denying the roots and the existence of the concepts they are using. As they seek not to build but to take over industrial plants, so they seek not to think but to take over human thinking. As they proclaim that the only requirement for running a factory is the ability to turn the cranks of the machines and blank out the question of who created the factory, so they proclaim that there are no entities, that nothing exists but motion, and blank out the fact that motion presupposes the thing which moves, that without the concept of entity, there can be no such concept as motion. As they proclaim their right to consume the unearned, and blank out the question of who's to produce it, so they proclaim that there is no law of identity, that nothing exists but change, and blank out the fact that change presupposes the concepts of what changes, from what and to what, that without the law of identity, no such concept as change is possible. As they rob an industrialist while denying his value, so they seek to seize power over all of existence while denying that existence exists. We know that we know nothing, they chatter, blanking out the fact that they are claiming knowledge. There are no absolutes, they chatter, blanking out the fact that they are uttering an absolute. You cannot prove that you exist, or that you're conscious, they chatter, blanking out the fact that proof presupposes existence, consciousness, and a complex chain of knowledge, the existence of something to know, of a consciousness able to know it, and of a knowledge that is learned to distinguish between such concepts as the proved and the unproved. When a savage who has not learned to speak declares that existence must be proved, he is asking you to prove it by means of non-existence. When he declares that your consciousness must be proved, he is asking you to prove it by means of unconsciousness. He is asking you to step into a void outside of existence and consciousness, to give him proof of both. He is asking you to become a zero, gaining knowledge about a zero. When he declares that an axiom is a matter of arbitrary choice, and he doesn't choose to accept the axiom that he exists, he blanks out the fact that he has accepted it by uttering that sentence, that the only way to reject it is to shut one's mouth, expound no theories, and die. An axiom is a statement that identifies the base of knowledge and of any further statement pertaining to that knowledge, a statement necessarily contained in all others, whether any particular speaker chooses to identify it or not. An axiom is a proposition that defeats its opponents by the fact that they have to accept it and use it in the process of any attempt to deny it. Let the caveman who does not choose to accept the axiom of identity try to present his theory without using the concept of identity or any concept derived from it. Let the anthropoid who does not choose to accept the existence of nouns try to devise a language without nouns, adjectives, or verbs. Let the witch doctor, who does not choose to accept the validity of sensory perception, try to prove it without using the data he obtained by sensory perception. Let the headhunter, who does not choose to accept the validity of logic, try to prove it without using logic. Let the pygmy who proclaims that a skyscraper needs no foundation after it reaches its 50th story yank the base from under his building, not yours. Let the cannibal who snarls that the freedom of man's mind was needed to create an industrial civilization, but is not needed to maintain it, be given an arrowhead and bearskin, not a university chair of economics. Do you think they are taking you back to dark ages? They are taking you back to darker ages than any your history has known. Their goal is not the era of pre-science, but the era of pre-language. Their purpose is to deprive you of the concept on which man's mind, his life, and his culture depend, the concept of an objective reality. Identify the development of a human consciousness, and you will know the purpose of their creed. A savage is a being who has not grasped that A is A, and that reality is real. He has arrested his mind at the level of a baby's, at the stage when a consciousness acquires its initial sensory perceptions and has not learned to distinguish solid objects. It is to a baby that the world appears as a blur of motion without things that move, and the birth of his mind is the day when he grasps that the streak that keeps flickering past him is his mother, and the world beyond her is a curtain, and that the two are solid entities, and neither can turn into the other, that they are what they are, that they exist. The day when he grasps that matter has no volition is the day when he grasps that he has. And this is his birth as a human being. The day when he grasps that the reflection he sees in a mirror is not a delusion, that it is real, but it is not himself, that the mirage he sees in a desert is not a delusion, that the air and the light rays that cause it are real, but it is not a city, it is a city's reflection. The day when he grasps that he is not a passive recipient of the sensations of any given moment, that his senses do not provide him with automatic knowledge in separate snatches independent of context, but only with the material of knowledge which his mind must learn to integrate. The day when he grasps that his senses cannot deceive him, that physical objects cannot act without causes, that his organs of perception are physical and have no volition, no power to invent or to distort, that the evidence they give him is an absolute, but his mind must learn to understand it, his mind must discover the nature, the causes, the full context of his sensory material. The mind must identify the things that he perceives. That is the day of his birth as a thinker and scientist. We are the men who reach that day. You are the men who choose to reach it partly. A savage is a man who never does. To a savage, the world is a place of unintelligible miracles, where anything is possible to inanimate matter, and nothing is possible to him. His world is not the unknown, but that irrational horror, the unknowable. He believes that physical objects are endowed with a mysterious volition, moved by causeless, unpredictable whims, while he is a helpless pawn at the mercy of forces beyond his control. He believes that nature is ruled by demons who possess an omnipotent power, and that reality is their fluid plaything where they can turn his bowl of meal into a snake and his wife into a beetle at any moment, where the A he has never discovered can be any non-A they choose, where the only knowledge he possesses is that he must not attempt to know. He can count on nothing. He can only wish, and he spends his life on wishing, on begging his demons to grant him his wishes by the arbitrary power of their will, giving them credit when they do, taking the blame when they don't, offering them sacrifices in token of his gratitude, and sacrifices in token of his guilt, crawling on his belly in fear and worship of sun and moon and wind and rain and of any thug who announces himself as their spokesman, provided his words are unintelligible and his mask sufficiently frightening. He wishes, begs, and crawls, and dies, leaving you as a record of his view of existence, the distorted monstrosities of his idols, part man, part animal, part spider, the embodiments of the world of non-A.